Hello, my name is Johnny Arbaugh, and I live in the City of Emeralds in Oz, and I listen to Bible Believers Fellowship.
Join us at bbfohio.com and bbfohioradio.com. Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of bbfohio.com and our study titled From Cults to Christ, beginning with a look at Romans 16, verses 17 through 18. This will be the first of a series of studies of the cults and other apologetic studies, and it serves as an introduction. We emphasize the need to know and understand the gospel of Jesus Christ as the foundation for all ministry, including our ministry to those in cults. The fact is, it is impossible to know everything about all of the cults because they number literally into the tens of thousands right here in the United States of America. But if you stick to the fundamental truths of Christianity, you can confront and challenge any cult or false religion that will ever cross your path. And if you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, you can send those to our attention by email by sending those to bbfohio@protonmail.com. That's bbfohio@protonmail.com. You can also send your letters with any check or money order contributions to support this ministry by addressing those to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. Again, that's P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. And if you wish, you can make donations at our website, bbfohio.com. If you are on your computer, use the PayPal donation on the right-hand side of the screen. If you are on your phone, use the drop-down menu if you're on our mobile site. Again, bbfohio.com. And we remind you that we do not solicit contributions, but we are asked frequently by listeners, so we provide this information in order to make their life a little easier. And we also want to remind everyone of our 24/7 internet radio station. That address is bbfohioradio.com. This website is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have listeners from more than 100 different countries. We have listeners from more than 100 different countries, all 50 U.S. states and the various U.S. territories, at times anywhere from dozens to hundreds and even into the thousands are listening, and each month we continue to see new listeners. So we ask you to not only listen, but share that address with friends and family, bbfohioradio.com. Now we begin our study, From Cults to Christ. This study is the beginning of our apologetics and cults studies, and this is part one
and,
of two.
Anyway, that's our announcements. We're going to get right into our study, From Cults to Christ, tonight. And we're going to actually go do some studies on these cults in future studies. But before we get into that, current events update. We mentioned the Israel elections already. It's parliamentary, my dear Watson. And I say that because it's not like, I mean, we had our hanging chads. What year was that?
2000.
Every parliamentary election is a hanging chad incident. And that's what's happening in Israel right now. They had the elections. They still don't know really how it's all going to shake out. There's a very good possibility Netanyahu, though, will continue to be prime minister. But he's been prime minister this last year with his hands tied. And it looks like it's going to be about the same. And they were hoping that this election would bring some, you know. So they're calling it an Israeli Groundhog Day. Because if you saw the movie, every day you woke up is the same thing. And this election's like the same thing that happened before. And this guy over here is, what's his name, Jenny Gantz?
Yeah, Benny Gantz.
Benny Gantz. And on the right is Prime Minister Netanyahu. And Gantz and he have been basically like enemies since they were young. And here they are head-to-head politically. Gantz has that what it's nothing like our system. So if you want to learn, you're going to have to go out online and learn because I can't explain it in a couple of minutes. But there's a possibility they could form a government that would have one of these guys as prime minister part of the time and then the other prime minister half the time. And like they'd split. Well, the good thing is Gantz despises Netanyahu so much he won't do it. And that's actually a good thing. So pray about that. Just pray about it. We'll see in the next few days how it all pans out. In the meantime, we watch and wait to see about war in the Middle East, mainly because of this attack on Saudi Arabian oil fields. And it is an act of war. There's no arguing about that. But the thing is it was an act of war against Saudi Arabia. And the U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo on Wednesday doubled down on accusations Iran is responsible for the weekend bombing on Saudi Arabia's oil facilities, telling reporters what it is. The strike was an act of war. Pompeo, speaking from Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, added that even if the fraudulent claims of responsibility by the Yemen Houthi rebels, don't have time to explain to you what that means other than to say there's a nation called Yemen. They are at war with Saudi Arabia. But Yemen is supported by Iran. And so the Houthis have said it wasn't Iran, it was us using Iranian weapons. It's a distinction without a difference. So Pompeo says it doesn't change the fingerprints of the Iranians as having put at risk the global energy supply. His comments come hours after President Trump tweeted that he had ordered Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin to substantially increase sanctions on Iran amid escalating tensions between the two countries. I'm all for that. I'm all for the sanctions and all that. But I have to tell you, I do not support military action by the United States. Saudi Arabia buys tens of billions of military equipment from us every year. Use it. You don't need America to come and fight your battles. We're not Saudi Arabians. Saudi Arabia isn't the 51st state. And so, as I say, when I disagree with the Trump administration based on any substance and not just flippant opinions, I'll say so. And I believe our U.S. Constitution does not give presidents the authority to do what we've done in Vietnam, to do what we did even in Iraq in 1990. It should have been declared by Congress. And then, of course, then GW did the same thing after 9/11. And instead of going after Obama, Osama bin Laden... Same thing. They went into Iraq, and Iraq had nothing to do with 9/11. And that's why our founders put it in the Constitution that Congress has to pass a declaration of war, because they knew that presidents like Bush, who is a puppet, would do things like he did in Iraq. If it had gone through Congress, our men and women would have gone into Afghanistan, literally blew the hell out of that place, sent Osama bin Laden to hell, and come home. But because it wasn't done constitutionally, 19 years later, here we are. And I don't want to see the same thing happen. I've got nephews who are right on the brink of age of serving, and I don't want them going fighting wars for Saudi Arabia. And if I don't want that for my nephews, I don't want it for anybody's sons or daughters or nephews. Yeah. All right, so we're getting a late start, and I don't have a lengthy study today, just one that some of you, it'll be a bit of a review. I hope it is a bit of a review. I hope you've taken time to study the cults to some extent. But we want to talk about a specific element of apologetics tonight, and that is from cults to Christ. I want you to think of that. From cults to Christ. Turn your Bibles to Romans 16. Romans 16. I know I sound a little hoarse. Hey! But if I can get through this without hacking my head off, then mission accomplished, because that's what I've purposely not been talking to people for several days, much more than I have to, because I start coughing. And then yesterday, or today, so far, so good. So what I'm going to ask you to do is read to me. Romans 16, and we're going to read verses 17 through 18. And I'm going to ask Janie, who was already recruited to be our microphone woman, if you would get the microphone. It's probably not even on yet. But as she's doing that, let's go ahead and read. Beginning verse 17, read.
Now I beseech you, brethren, mark that which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the sinful.
That is a twofold message to us regarding cults. Now, it doesn't limit it to just cults. It says, mark those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned. But that is basically what a cult is. And we're supposed to mark them and avoid them. A failure in many pulpits, churches, and ministries today is that they won't name names. They have this false teaching that you're not supposed to name names. It's mean. Well, you know what? Maybe it is mean. Who cares? Where does the Bible say thou shalt not be mean? It doesn't say that. Mean is subjective. Mean, you'll think one thing's mean and I'll think it's funny. Especially the women. We showed the thing up there one time that showed two women and a man. The women were like, and the guy was like, you know. That's the difference a lot of times just between men and women. But sometimes it's just personalities. But in any case, Jesus was very mean. And if you don't think Jesus was mean, you got to grow up, because that's a childish, immature attitude about Jesus. He looked at a woman one time, it was a Gentile, and he just basically said she was a dog. He says, it's not meat to throw the food for the children of the kingdom to the dogs. Well, another time, what was he said to a fella? What was his name? Peter. Can you imagine if I looked at you and called you Satan?
That'd be mean.
And Jesus looked right at Satan and said, get thee behind me, Satan. Peter. Who do you... Jesus looked at... What'd I say? Oh, yeah, you wasn't looking at Satan. He looked at Peter and said, get thee behind me, Satan. Yeah. Now, you shouldn't just be mean for the sake of being mean. But if you don't think Jesus was mean, go read Matthew 23. I was telling about Matthew 23 will set you free. So let's begin by defining a cult. And here's the question. Is it this definition? The Merriam-Webster Dictionary says it's a religion regarded as unorthodox or spurious. Now, that's a pretty good definition. But the unorthodox, if you say, well, that means not, you know, holding to fundamental doctrine. But not everybody defines that term that way. And spurious, I'll come back to that in a minute, but that's a kind of a subjective term there too. So maybe it's this definition. Cambridge Dictionary says a cult is a religious group often living together. Well, maybe, but not always. I mean, the Mormons don't all live together. See what I'm saying? Whose beliefs are considered extreme or strange by many people. You know who that is? That's us. See these definitions? They get you in trouble all the time. You got to test everything, including your dictionary, by the Word of God. This is your authority, not a dictionary. Therein lies a huge problem, defining your terms. As a matter of fact, when we talk about these cults, they will say the same things you say. They just don't mean the same thing. You have Mormons, little white-shirted guys on their 10-speeds come up to your door, and you can look at them and say, do you believe in Jesus? Well, yes. Is Jesus your Savior? Well, yes. Jesus is my Savior. You're thinking, that was easy. Now, the problem is they don't define the term Jesus. They don't define the term salvation the same way you do. So there's a little reality check. The fact is, whether you're talking about the world at large, or specifically about Rome under the Pope, or the Laodicean churches out there, etc., they believe that we are a cult. You're in that fundamentalist cult. That's one of the things I'll say. And a lot of the world agrees with them on that. You're in that King James only cult. Yeah. And we'll talk more about that another time, but you know what? Before 1881, every English-speaking person on the planet was in the King James-only cult. So we didn't change. They changed. You know, dispensationalists are called a cult. Basically, that means look over above Doug's head, beyond the halo. See that chart? That's a chart representing the dispensations. It's clearly biblical. I mean, we've taught it, but they don't care what the Bible teaches. And because you're going by the Bible and not them, they'll call you a cult. Another one, Zionists. If you support Israel, they call Christian Zionists a cult. And there's fewer and fewer of us every year. More and more professing Christians are junking Israel. Pre-trib rapturists. Yeah, you believe in the pre-trib rapture, they'll say you're in a cult.
Fewer and fewer every year.
Coffee drinkers. It goes both ways. The Mormons, for example, or the Albinists, either one. They'll say if you drink coffee, you're a cult. But Bible believers are often labeled as a sect as well. Have you heard that term? S-E-C-T. It's a very difficult word to say. Because it sounds like you'll say it's a you're a member of a sect. How many sects? It's like S-E-X is what people hear, but it's S-E-C-T, sect. Let's look at Acts 24 real quick. I think my wife was pointing us there too. Weren't you saying something? Acts 24 verse 5. Acts 24 verse 5. Everybody there? Okay, read that.
For we have found this man a pestilent fellow and a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes.
And they call them Nazarenes not because of the Church of the Nazarene denomination we know today, but because Jesus was a Nazarene from Nazareth, or whatever you want to say. They called the followers of Jesus Nazarenes, followers of the Nazarenes, or they just called them Nazarenes. And so they were called a sect. See? And that's the equivalent of calling them a cult. They've always done that with Bible believers. And we'll talk more again about this sometime. But the reason why I tell people we are Baptists, even though we don't use the name Baptist, just because I'm being honest, we are Baptists. Because the term Baptist wasn't originally ever supposed to be a denominational name. The term Baptist was a term of derision. It was used against people who baptized adult believers. Those same adult believers had been sprinkled as children. So they rebaptized them once they were adult believers, because that's Bible baptism. And so they called them rebaptizers, dunkers, and then the Anabaptists, and then it's finally shortened to Baptist. And so then when they would start building church buildings or holding building church meetings in barns or whatever, and they'd put up a sign, "This is where the Baptist church meets." And one thing led to another, and they started naming their buildings after the congregation as such Baptist church. And that's how the etymology of that word evolved into how it's used today. The Southern Baptist Convention is an oxymoron. There's no such thing as a denomination of Baptists in real terms, but it's a free country and you can use words wrongly. And so people do. So it's a matter of perspective when it comes to who is a sect or who is a cult. And our study is from the Bible-believing perspective. We will look at cults as those who are simply anti-biblical. In other words, you watch People Magazine had a series on cults that they aired on one of the channels. There's been History Channel. CNN, I think, did one on cults one time. Their definition was not our definition. And they would have included us. At least some of them would have included us. The Roman Catholic Church considers you a cult. The Orthodox religion considers you a cult. But we are coming from an opposite view of them because we believe the Bible. They don't. And so our studies of the cults come from basically any group of people who are anti-biblical. I think that's how I put it here. As for Bible Christians, we define a cult by the fact that it simply denies fundamental Bible truths. That means that up until recently, if you picked up a book by someone like Walter Martin or Dave Hunt or someone who taught on the cults in years past, they would have included liberalism. Dr. Walter Martin had a tape on it, and one of the first tapes I ever heard is cassette tape, going back that far. One of the first studies, sermons, lessons on cults. It was called The Cult of Liberalism. You don't hear that much these days. You will hear. Amen? In every case, they pervert the simple gospel. That's our definition of a cult. Now, there are traits that we're going to look at, but they all have one thing in common. They pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's why we consider them a cult. Look over at 1 Corinthians 15. Mark it. Underline it. Highlight it. Memorize it. 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4 is where the simple gospel is laid out. He begins by saying, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the," what?
Gospel.
"The gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand." You see, well, the difference between a cult and Bible Believers Fellowship and any other Bible-believing church is that I do not tell you that you should believe me I tell you, you should believe the Bible. And you are supposed to check me out. In cults, you'll get in trouble for checking them out. Who are you? That's the attitude of a cult. And Paul says, I declared unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. And so you know right now that no matter what Greg Miller says, the Bible says this is where you find the gospel. He continues in verse 2, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. And we're not doing an expository study line upon line, but we're just reading this. So let's just pick up there, verses 3 and 4, if you would, read that.
For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures.
Now, he goes on to describe there that there were eyewitnesses. But that there is the gospel. And now, just I want to throw this in there as well. Paul says that his ministry in Acts 20:21, you can read it on the wall back there, is testifying both to the Jews and also the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord, toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And people will accuse you and me of preaching works and preaching a false gospel if we preach repentance. But see, the gospel is here. But then we're told to preach that gospel and then call on the hearer to repent and believe the gospel. So if you preach the gospel without calling on men to repent, you are not following the Apostle Paul's teaching and example. You're not following Jesus Christ, who said it in Mark 1:15. Cults preach a false gospel in some way, shape, or form, and they do not call on men to repent. And that's why a lot of evangelical churches today fit the definition of a cult. They preach what we would call antinomianism, that it's just like a believing the gospel and there's no change, a salvation without regeneration. There's no desire to repent of sin, to repent of your opinions, to repent of your self-love. And that's producing Laodicea today. So we could refer to the cult of Laodicea. It's really what we could call it. Cults deny the biblical faith. And of course, Jude 1:3 says, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for what? The faith which was once delivered unto the saints. The faith is delivered right here. And it's settled. There's no evolution. There's no progress and progressivism and all that stuff you hear these days in a lot of churches. Rock solid, absolute, fundamental truth right here. So we have these cultic errors that we're going to look at when we look at the different cults, but they all share one, and most of the time, two or three, if not all, of these traits. They deny biblical authority. According to the Roman Catholic Church, the Pope is an authority over this book. And tradition is an authority over.
For solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.